What's up, Jets fans, and welcome back to yet another edition of the Jets Stream, the official New York Jets podcast of Gotham Sports Network. My name is Jesse Finver, and with me, as always, Connor Sharon. Connor, that fucking sucked.
Three straight weeks of just not fun Mondays.
I mean, we were 6-3, and now we're 7-7. So
this one hurts a whole lot because, there's a lot of just blown stuff, a lot of blown shit that cost them that game yesterday, and it hurts to watch. It hurt to watch yesterday. I think you and I were talking about it before we started. The only thing that made it a little more palatable was watching the Patriots absolutely throw up all over themselves at the end of their game.
I am still laughing at Jacoby Myers.
Me too.
I don't think I'll ever stop laughing at Jacoby Myers.
I saw that someone actually.
That was the funniest thing I've ever seen on a football field. Before, and that's because I missed the butt fumble.
Yeah. before we get into it, I saw someone ask a question last night that if Mac Jones had like fallen and like kind of kicked Chandler Jones, then he would have fallen over and the play would have been, the game would have ended. Like, would you rather be known as the guy that got bulldozed like he did, or as a dirty player? Because I mean, like he commits a dirty play right there. Game at least goes to overtime.
I'd rather be the dirty player because I want to
win. Be the dirty player. Yeah, you know, you at least give your team a shot at winning.
Hold on. My mic just came unplugged. Hold on. Oh, this is bad. we're struggling here, folks.
Home studio setup at the Finver household just breaking down.
Yeah, it's brutal. All right, hold on. The sound's going to be all over the place.
Back. All right. Oh, man. yeah, I'd rather be the dirty player, for sure.
Easily.
Winning is the only thing that matters. Right. Which is something the Jets have not been doing a whole lot of late.
Not for the last three weeks.
Losses, Vikings, Bills, Lions. It's 3 one-possession game losses. Their last 5 losses have all been one possession, and they've all been excruciating. This team could easily have won all 5 of those games, and they'd be what? They'd be
12-2.
12-2. Yeah, it's unbelievable. so I think that there's a discussion to be had about, obviously we'll talk about this loss. I mean, I don't know how much I actually yes, we're going to talk about this loss. There's especially the last drive and Zach. We'll talk about Zach Wilson and how he was just not good. Numbers be damned. If you're just looking at the box score, you don't know what you're looking at. I'm sorry. You just don't.
Yeah. You can make that argument. We made that argument all the time with him in his rookie season, saying, you know, going the other way around when his numbers were low, like is that they never tell the whole story. This is the opposite. His stats yesterday were 18 to 35, 317 yards passing, 2 TDs and an interception. That most certainly does not tell. It was like exactly like the first Patriots game. He had like 350 yards, 2 touchdowns. That did not tell the whole story.
Yes.
He also threw like, what was it, 3 picks in that game. So, you know, biggest lesson here, don't be a slave to the numbers ever.
So I think, all right, so let's take it back. Let's take it back, right? Was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? It was week 6 going into week 7. Jets had won 3 straight. They beat the Packers, the Dolphins, and the Steelers. And we're feeling good, and we're shocked. We cannot believe it. They're 4-2, right? Mm-hmm. And we have a discussion, I believe, after this week, basically saying, you know, expectations have changed. May have been the week after, but even then, I think it was this week. It was after this week. You know, the Packers win. Let's see. I want to look at these stats, actually, in the Packers win. Jets play great in Green Bay, and we kind of were like, okay, this team is a little different. Breece Hall, 20 carries, 116 yards. Zach Wilson was 10 of 18 for 110.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
That was the game I was hoping to see yesterday.
Yeah. And people were like, oh, look, he is 5-2. Yeah, he was – oh, my God. Dude, this website sucks. It's just the autoplay videos. Oh my god. So yeah, so we were like, all right, expectations need to start changing a little bit. You know, if Zach can just be a game manager with this running attack and with this defense and the pass protection that the Jets are getting, I mean, it's the sky's the limit. You go to Denver and you lose Breece and AVT. And then you lose 22-17 to the Patriots. Then Buffalo comes to town and you beat them 20-17. And you're like, okay, you know, great bounce back. Maybe the injuries aren't going to affect us as much as we thought. Then you go go to New England, lose 10-3, and just like the most excruciating loss of the season. You beat the Bears, feel good win. Mike White starts, goes crazy. Lose to the Vikings in a really tough one. 6 trips to the red zone, only 1 touchdown, and it was a rushing touchdown from Mike White. Go to Buffalo. CJ Mosley blows it on that 3rd down. They get the ball. They jumps early. They get the ball. Or it was a 4th down or something. They get the ball. They go down the field. They score. That's essentially the game. And they had a chance at the end, honestly, too. They had 40 seconds, no timeouts. Crazier things have happened, but they had a chance at the end.
Yeah. Out of these last 3 losses, the Bills one is the one I was looking back on it, I'm least upset about.
Yeah.
It's a divisional game. It was a slugfest. Mike White fractured his ribs. Like, it was just one of those games. It just, you know, just didn't. It was like the first Jets-Bills game. That game didn't break the Bills' way. That game didn't break the Jets' way. The Minnesota game, the more I thought about it, that one.
Frustrating because lack of execution.
Lack of execution in the red zone, the Berrios drop. It all came to fruition, a game that they should have won yesterday, a game that they should have won. They had it, and then a 4th-and-inches play, you give up a 51-yard touchdown, and I don't even. I was legit. I didn't even know.
I was stunned. I had penciled it in already. I was like, this game's over. Like, we're gonna. There's no way they need a touchdown. There's no way this defense is gonna let that up. This defense is too good. And then the coverage breakdown, which allegedly it wasn't CJ Mosley's fault, but he was the nearest defender. But it makes you think like maybe it was Will Parks, or like the safety or whoever was on the field replacing LaMarcus Joyner. Hadn't missed a snap all season. Just absolutely brutal. The worst possible time to have a coverage breakdown. And that leads to my point where this team isn't ready yet. This team is too injured. They're not disciplined enough right now. They're too young. And they certainly have the talent. This is a very talented team that's going to be competitive for the foreseeable future. And I'm very excited about that. It's like, for a decade, it was just like, all right, the Jets, like, football season, maybe we get a miracle and the quarterback like turns out to be something and like whatever. But this defense is so good. It's going to be so good for so long with the way it's been set up. They're going to lock up Quinnen Williams this offseason. You have Sauce Gardner for at least 5 years, and he's going to be a Jet for life. If anybody is smart in Florham Park,
if there isn't like a, you know, sophomore slump type thing next season, he'll be a Jet, you know, for the foreseeable future. Quinnen, you gotta obviously, like you just said, you know, you lock him up. The thing is like that. This is what I was talking to about it with my dad, I think yesterday. That and shout out Dad if you're listening. He listens to us every week now. So go Dad. Yeah.
What's up? What's up?
How you doing? So. The thing is that they have to use a lot of cap this year to bring guys back. So still going to draft guys. Obviously, there's guys you let go and you're not feeling too, you know, bummed about it because it's just the way it goes. It's business. You draft guys to replace them. It's the way this whole business works. So, you hope that, you know, things can stay the same and they can move trend upwards from what they're looking like this season. You know, you're at 7 wins, which is what I predicted, which I think is what you were close to predicting. You were like 8-9.
I had like 8 wins, I think.
Yeah, so we're both in the ballpark of what's how things are probably going to shake out. They very well could run the table. It's with entirely within the realm of possibility they run the table. You know, they play Jacksonville on Thursday. Jacksonville looks good. Trevor Lawrence looks like he's finally turned into the guy, like,
yep.
Stud. I mean, he crushed it. They came back and, you know, they won against Dallas. That's a big win for them. The AFC South is very much winnable for them. So this is a game that actually has a lot of playoff implications because the Jaguars, I think, are the Jets are 8th, I think, in the playoff, 8th or 9th in the playoff hunt. And the Jaguars are right behind them.
Yep.
So this game is huge. And it, you know, then the Jets go to Seattle. You got to go to Seattle. They almost never play well on the West Coast. Seattle's such a mystery as far as the team was because they were hot out of the gate. They've kind of leveled off a lot. So is Geno. And you don't really know what you're going to get with them. And then Miami.
They don't have Lockett either. I'm pretty sure Lockett broke his finger.
Did he? Oh, I didn't even know so. That.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't hold me to that, but
you don't know what you're gonna. I feel like you're not, and you don't know what you're gonna get with Miami. I mean, a lot of things can happen between now and then. Miami took Buffalo to the right to the end, you know, on Saturday, and everyone in the league, everyone around the league, every fan said, "Oh, a snowstorm rolled through Buffalo. It's gonna snow during that game. Miami's cooked." And they took them right to the end. So you never know what you're going to get with Miami either. So we were talking the way playoff scenarios might break down before here, but the easiest way for them to get in, the easiest way for them to get in is win out, but that's fairly obvious. If they don't win out, their playoff chances drop dramatically. It goes from like above 90% to like 50-something percent. So it's every game is important now at this point.
Yeah, you got to win. And the biggest game is Miami. You have to beat Miami or else none of this matters. If you don't beat Miami, you're not making the playoffs. I just think that we need to change our expectations a little bit. And that sucks. But this team is dealing with a lot of injuries, just like every other team is. But the injuries the Jets have sustained, you lose... It's there's a couple of teams that have had injuries similar to the Jets, losing best players. I mean, the Cardinals lost Kyler for the season. Now, there's plenty of guys who have gotten hurt this year, but the Jets have had some massive, massive injuries. Their best offensive lineman, their cornerstone, I guess he'd be at this point, a right tackle, a guard, a left tackle for Mekhi Becton. And then you have Corey Davis, who's been in and out. You lose Breece Hall. Mike White, his ribs are like just fucking juice right now.
I don't even know what to describe.
His insides have been liquefied. He went to 10 straight doctors. 10 doctors in a row.
He was begging.
Please clear me.
He's on his hands and knees. Just clear me. I don't care if they have to. What did he say? It's like they had to pick me up off the field to get me out of there. He wanted to play in this game so bad. God bless him. And Salah didn't commit. Who knows? He might play Thursday. I doubt it.
I'm praying he plays Thursday. I can't watch another Zach Wilson start. I just can't.
Okay. So let's get into.
Hold on, real quick, before the game. So, Nania came out with the scenarios. Okay. For what the Jets need to do? They need to go 3-0. They do. They need to go 3-0. If the Jets finish 3-0, they do need some help to get in, but not much. They just need one of three things to happen, and 3-0 is enough. New England loses one game. The Chargers lose an AFC game. These are like any of these can happen. They don't all have to happen. Chargers lose an AFC game to Indianapolis or Denver. And Baltimore loses out,
mm-hmm.
which I don't see. I can see the Chargers losing a divisional game to Denver, and they could lose to Indianapolis. Sure, Indianapolis was a weird team.
That was like the strangest game of all time on Saturday.
Yeah, until the Patriots.
Until the Patriots ending. You blow.
You see Matt Ryan's wife.
No.
You didn't see the Matt Ryan wife tweet?
Oh God, no, I didn't.
Hold on. Oh, this is so good. What an incredible game between Argentina and France. Makes you totally forget about anything crazy that may have happened in the NFL yesterday.
I saw a couple of the guys from Barstool saying similar stuff after the Patriots game ended. Like, crazy. I mean, it's a Sunday without football. I mean, how about that World Cup final this morning? It was pretty wild stuff.
Portnoy in the car. Like, I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened. Meanwhile, yeah. He's tweeting about it like 10 minutes.
He's like, my phone's dead, but he's recording. Like,
I don't know what happened. I was like, all right, give me a break.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. The Jets need help. They do. But if Mike White plays, I would say, yeah, if Mike White plays all three games, I think the Jets should win all three games. But if he doesn't, then I'm expecting like 1-2 and they go 8-9.
I don't see
maybe 9-8 and they sneak in and Mike is healthy and they play him in the playoff.
Put it this way, if they make the playoffs, I'll be happy. I don't even need to see them win a playoff game.
Yeah, I just want them in there.
Like, you know, we got what we wanted at the beginning of the season. They're on the graphic. They're playing meaningful games in September. It's Christmas. It's Hanukkah. They're still playing meaningful games. Like, it's what we asked for at the beginning of the season. But unfortunately, when you're playing meaningful games in December.
Oh, yeah. Happy Hanukkah.
Oh,
as the Jewish man.
To a Jewish man, to a Catholic, you know?
Yeah.
Almost Merry Christmas. You know, we can do that. We are and Happy Holidays. You know, then it's New Year's, too. So we got them
Happy Holidays. Yeah.
Got them all wrapped up.
Absolutely. 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 All right. I want to talk about. So let's talk about the Lions game. And the only thing that's really worth mentioning, I mean, all right. So like all week we had people telling us Zach Wilson, like, we got to give him another chance. Like I had a guy at work. Like, I love this guy. He just started with us and he's a Jets fan. And it's always good to add a Jets fan to the staff. You know, we have another guy who's a big Jets guy, but like very diverse crew of fandoms.
Right.
Some Giants fans, got some Eagles fans. Got some Jets fans, like very Northeast, like diversified. It's not just Giants, not just Jets, not just Eagles, you know, so it's nice. And he was like, you know, I want to give Zach Wilson another chance. Like, he's 5-2. Like, we can't give up on him yet. I think we can give up on him. I think it's okay to give up on him. This is a classic, like, look at the box score. 317 yards and 2 touchdowns, exactly. Only 1 interception. No, that's pretty good. Yeah, maybe if you didn't watch the game, that's pretty good.
Right.
But this guy is not capable of hitting, I'd say, like, 60 to 70% of, like, the throws he needs to make. Like, he just isn't, he doesn't have that in him. I think on the final drive, he missed 2 touchdowns. I'd have to watch the all 22, which I don't have access to, but I'm sure I'll see. Like, look at this throw. Look at this. Zach Wilson missed.
Yeah, you just got to look at Michael Lani's Twitter account. He'll break down.
So I want to go through that final drive because I haven't really gone through the play-by-play yet, and I just kind of figure out, like, what went down there. You know, even like they had a good drive, like 7 plays, 56 yards and a touchdown, like, and they took the lead. And then that awful, awful, awful touchdown. They also had a good drive, like 2 drives before the touchdown, 9 plays, only 25 yards because Zach took way too many sacks.
Yeah. That final drive took the sack on the opening play.
Yeah. All right. So 1st and 25. First play with 1:49 left. Zach Wilson sacked. for 9 yards. Mm-hmm. Unacceptable. You can't take a sack on the first play of a 2 minute drive. We just listened to the clip before we started recording. We listened to a clip of Greeny, noted Jets fan, Greeny on Get Up, saying it was not on Zach Wilson yesterday. It was on the coaching. It was on the coaching staff, the decisions that they made, the lack of timeouts. Yeah, Robert Saleh should have taken the timeout during that final 2 minute drill, for sure. That doesn't absolve Zach Wilson of the mistakes that he made, though. Okay? And he made these mistakes all game long, taking bad sacks, horrendous overthrows. He should have had multiple interceptions, one of which Michael Carter somehow bailed. I don't even understand how he bailed him out there. Mm-hmm. And like, if you watch the all 22, there was no one even close to him. Like, where was this ball going to be going?
I looked at it from, I think it was from Nania. It looked like he was trying, because behind the guy, Carter kind of takes the ball away from him on the catch. Garrett Wilson's kind of like 5 yards behind that guy. So it looked like that's where he was going to try to get the ball to. But it's the perfect example of doing too much and trying to, like, that's what happens. He gets hit, and the ball just flies up in the air like that, lame duck, and all the guy just has to do in that situation is wait for it to come down. Michael Carter made a heads-up play and took it away from him. But that was a surefire, easy, like, you can't find an easier interception than that mm-hmm. one. And Wilson got incredibly lucky that Michael Carter just happened to be there.
So lucky. By the way, if you heard any noise there, it's because another ad started auto-playing for me. Naturally, of course. So, hold on. I'm doing out. I'm fixing this out. There we go. Should go in my headphones now, so you won't be able to hear that. Sweet. All right. It's just going to scare the shit out of me now. I can't wait for the ad to start playing. Just jump. All right. So we took the sack. Incomplete pass down the middle to Berrios on 2nd and 19. That one he would have kept on going for a long time.
Should have hit.
Yeah.
It's a tight window. Two defensive backs around him, but he could have hit that.
Then 3rd and 19, he makes the best throw he's made I maybe have ever seen him make, hitting Garrett Wilson in stride over deep and over the right side for 22 yards. Over Okuda, who sucks, by the way. He's not good, Okuda.
Not anymore, yeah.
He's I don't think he's ever been good. I think he came out of the first round pick. I think he's a huge fraud. Yeah. Their pass defense is horrendous.
That's what makes it so annoying that Wilson played like that.
Yeah.
Like, he hits some of these passes. He's between 400 and 450 yards throwing yesterday, and all of us are shutting up. He hits some of these throws. That's what's frustrating, you know?
Right. So, actually, no, it wasn't I think the Berrios one, that wasn't the one that he was kept on going. It was he would have
over the 50, though, had he caught it.
No, that was later in the drive. There was a Zach Wilson incomplete deep pass deep right to Berrios. I think that may have been.
Okay.
Either way, he missed a long one to Berrios that he should have had. But he missed one on first down on the 38 to Berrios. Then he went past short left to Garrett Wilson for 10 yards. That was at 53 seconds. The next play they ran was at 31 seconds. That's when Robert Saleh should have taken a timeout.
Right, right.
Okay. I'm okay with letting the clock run, because you don't want, like I say, you do get something going and you don't want the Lions to have a shot at, you know, winning the game. I'm okay with that. You take that time out of 53 seconds. And I think Saleh even said either yesterday or today, I'm pretty sure it was today, he said that he should have taken that time out after the Garrett Wilson catch.
He said,
which is right, which is good to hear, because we'll, you know, that shows a little bit of growth, I think.
Accountability,
you got to learn. Like, this is only his second year being a head coach, and we know he's going to be here for a while. He's a very good coach. We hope he's here for a while. We hope things keep on going well. But he's learning about clock management, and he has a good. He's done very well throughout the season with clock management. This was bad.
His explanation was that because the catch was a little close to the ground or where Garrett Wilson landed, that he was afraid that if he took a timeout, the refs might pause it to look at it again, to either change the spot or I don't know if it was like super close on him making the catch. He was just afraid that they might change that, which is why he wanted to get up on the line quicker. And that's all. I mean, yeah, that's, I would have definitely taken the time out there. I mean, it's, I kept, I mean, you can't start that drive with a minute and 49 seconds to go from your 25 and let the clock run out and be forced to kick a field goal, be forced to kick a 58-yard field goal.
Yeah, that is 100%.
Unacceptable on the coach, on the quarterback missing some of those passes, because the receiver, anytime he hit the receivers, they all made their catches. They did their jobs when he got them the ball. So,
but he missed them too many times.
Too many times. And not even just obviously on that drive. That was throughout the day, you know. There was one play in particular that, you know, you saw him throw to Garrett Wilson over the middle, just missed him. And it was like similar to the last time Zach Wilson started a game. Garrett Wilson is visibly frustrated at midfield. And not only that, Berrios was also wide open on the left, and he probably could have hit him there too. And it was just the biggest thing is just so many missed opportunities in the pass game. And I guess you can kind of say that a lot of this has to do with a lack of run game yesterday, which was also incredibly frustrating to see. You know, the Lions have a terrible defense, worse passing defense than a rushing defense. But you can't tell me that. Let me see here. What did they finish with as far as they finished with 50 yards rushing between five different players.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
Can't do that.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah. So
can't have that.
When that's not getting off the ground at all, yeah, it puts more pressure on the pass game. This is when quarterbacks step up.
Yeah, and you know, he didn't step up at all. The rest of that drive, Wilson incomplete deep right on 1st and 10 at the 48 with 30 seconds left to Berrios. That was like a deep shot. I think they're just—I don't know why Berrios was a target on that deep shot. But then next play, 24 seconds left, sacked.
Yeah.
We let 5 seconds go off the clock before we take a timeout, which is unacceptable. Shotgun incomplete pass, short right to Elijah Moore. That was. He would have gone. He was gone. He missed him, and he would have kept on running. That would have been, oh my god, we would have had like a 35-yard field goal to tie the game.
And you can trust Zerline to make it. I mean, we were all like, I mean, Zerline, that wasn't even close, that last field goal.
He had the leg, but and you know what? He's been money all year.
That's a 58-yard field goal. You can ask Justin Tucker to go out there, and Justin Tucker, I mean, he's as money as it gets.
And he'll miss those sometimes too.
But I mean, 58-yard field goal, I don't care who you are. That is a very, very hard kick to make. So,
yeah,
you know, I can't be mad at him for missing that kick.
Yeah. What do you want? And then, on 4th and 18, yeah, I actually heard that actually. Then on 4th and 18, somehow Zach like completes the pass to Elijah Moore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah. And then I also, you look at it and it's like, if you're a Lions fan, if they had just let him go down and not touched him, the game's over.
Yeah. Well, like, he was trying to get out of bounds.
Yeah. No, I know that. But it's like, even if, yeah, like if he just goes down, which is obviously is the smarter play, but if the Lions just back off and in the moment, it's like, you can't fault a player for getting him down, obviously. But it's like, you look at it again, they just back off, game's over. They managed to get 1 second to go.
I know. I mean,
it's that was a pretty wild play. And obviously the last minute like desperation throw to try to just get them back in position. But yeah, that was also a weird kind of, I don't know like why they just weren't trying to Hail Mary, but I guess with 14 seconds there and, you know, a couple timeouts, you still think that you have the shot there. I mean, mm-hmm. But you know,
say lobby. Yeah, man. So that sucked, obviously. And the Jets now don't control their own destiny at all.
I think the
other... you got to win. You need a New England loss, and if New England loses and you win out, you're in the playoffs. Essentially, you just got to beat Miami. It's all that matters. Beat Miami. Please. But first, obviously, is first and foremost, we have to beat Jacksonville on Thursday, which I'm ready to talk about if you are.
Yeah. One last thing about the Lions game is just defense, for the most part, helped contain the Lions. You know, good offense. If you take out the punt return for a touchdown, obviously, they gave up 10 points. So
yeah, that's still pretty late. Good. I mean, the defense is still incredible.
That was
even without Quinnen Williams.
Even without Quinnen Williams, they didn't get any sacks. That was one thing. I mean, the Lions have a great offensive line.
Yes, but, one of the best in the league.
So, but I mean, they didn't get a ton of pressure on Jared Goff. So that was frustrating to see. And then obviously, the breakdown on the Lions go-ahead touchdown was, I don't even know what to say about it. It was just, you know, it was like kind of like the punt return. It was just like a lot of guys standing around looking confused, like not knowing what to do, like running, like, and just complete breakdown. And obviously, the one that cost them the game. But, you know, yeah, they were doing the right thing, I feel like, up to that point, allowing the Lions to get stuff over the middle. You know, that's what you do in those situations. You're cool with that. So that you're making them burn clock or burn a timeout.
Well, they let them have the middle of the field all game. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 8. You know, like Sauce Gardner didn't get targeted yesterday. DJ Reed played really well, and he had some PBUs, including one on Jameson Williams, which is saved the touchdown. And I mean, that was just an underthrown ball. He kind of got cooked, but that's, you know, to be expected when Jameson Williams is one of the 20 fastest guys in the league, probably.
Yeah.
Just like even out of college, just like that's how fast he is.
Like the defense wasn't the strongest day. I don't think so, but you know, you're able to hold an explosive Lions offense and hold DeAndre Swift and, you know, Williams, the running back, to hold them back as well.
Touchdown leader.
They still got 100 yards rushing, but I think overall that was as good of a day as you could ask for from the defense, outside of obviously the broken plays. I think the entire loss is like more of a team loss between the coaching and credit to Zach Wilson for some of the throws he made. Obviously, the touchdown throw to
he can have some credit.
Uzama, but a lot of the throws that he was making are pass breakdown, like the play breakdown, him rolling out, and they should be rolling him out more. Obviously, I think that's where he's the strongest. But a lot of if you go back and look at some of the throws, like the Uzama touchdown was underthrown. Uzama, you go back, had to come back.
Yeah,
the long Jeff Smith pass at the end of the second, at
underthrown.
The end of the first half, he had to come back for it. So
these are throws that like anybody should be able to make. Like this isn't like, and I understand people are like, well, like, and this, my coworker was like, you know, like they're just, LaFleur's like, just not like rolling them out enough and doing this and that. If your quarterback has to get rolled out in order to, and have a wide open field in front of him, and all the time in the world, and just like being able to see everything, not have to deal with looking over the offensive line. If that's what your quarterback needs to succeed, maybe he's not a very good quarterback. You know, any quarterback can succeed when you roll him out and you have a zillion hours to throw and a wide open field in front of you. Any quarterback can do that. That's basically a pro day type of throw. That was the pro day throw that he had.
That was the pro day throw.
That was the pro day throw that he had to Uzama. And guess what? Nobody was in a country within a country mile of him when he made that throw.
Yeah.
So, like, congratulations, Zach, that you made a throw that you like we saw in your pro day. Awesome. Like, I don't care. I don't care. I really don't. I it doesn't impress me at all that Uzama touchdown. It was a good play design. The other throwing touchdown he had to Uzama was a good play design also. Play action on the one. That was good play design. Zach's not a good quarterback, folks. He's just not. Zach Wilson is a bad NFL quarterback. He'll be out of the league. I mean, he could stay in the league for a little while as a backup if he wants to.
Yeah, I think he's.
I don't know if his ego will let him. Yeah, I don't know if his ego will allow that.
To his credit, did you see? I think he got some fantastic PR training over the course of the past 3 weeks.
Because his
answers were so much better yesterday.
Yeah,
so.
Congrats, Zach Wilson. You really did so good.
We're so proud of you.
Oh.
Who made a presentation to be like, see this answer you gave? Don't ever do that again.
Yeah.
Here's what to say if you play bad. There you go. There's your PR training.
Yeah, Zach, you certainly didn't do enough to have us win. All right, we're well aware, buddy. Okay, and we're not gonna win if you're playing on Thursday, because the Jaguars are hot. The Jets are favored -1 right now. Matchup predictor on ESPN has the Jaguars at 54% chance of winning. It's gonna be clear and cold on Thursday night. 34 degrees. I expect the stadium to be pretty loud, pretty packed for a primetime game. Right now, it's looking so Trayvon Walker is probably going to be out. It looks like. What's the date today?
Today is the 19th.
Summer 19th. So Trayvon Walker is out. Cam Robinson, their tackle, is questionable, and our boy, who I miss so much. Fulorunzo Fadakowski.
By the way, Khalif Raymond.
He's yesterday. Questionable.
Khalif Raymond, dude. The Lions. Revenge game.
Yeah.
Jets caught him.
Why couldn't he have done that against, like, Tampa or something to get revenge on Todd Bowles? Like, what did we do to you? The Jets didn't do anything to him. It was all Todd Bowles, all right? He's the one who took you out because you muffed too many punts, dude.
Also, speaking of former Jets, Keelan Cole, thank you, man. Thank you, buddy. That touchdown catch at the end of the Raiders game. I don't know if it was a catch, but the refs think it was a catch. And
Shout out to Keelan Cole. For sure.
Shout out, Keelan Cole. Thank you, man.
All right, so this is going to be a tough one. Travis Etienne's playing great. He's averaging over 4.5 yards per game, per carry. He is complemented very well by Christian Kirk, who has been worth the money for Jacksonville.
Yep.
He's been fantastic for them. Zay Jones has been good for them. Trevor Lawrence has been fantastic. He's had 500 pass attempts. Let's see. What's the math come out to here? He's had 500 pass attempts and 330 completions. So 330... Oops. 66% completion percentage there. That's pretty dang good. He can move with his. This is gonna be a tough game for the Jets. It's also gonna be very helpful that they're gonna have 10 days to prepare for Seattle. The West Coast trip. They can get out there a little earlier than they normally would, I'm sure, and practice out there. I bet. If they so choose to do so, I would probably just choose to do that just so you're used to the jet lag and whatnot and playing. It's going to be a 4:05 game, so it'll be like a 1 o'clock start. This is the Jaguars. This is going to be a tough game. They're good. They just beat the Cowboys. They just went to Tennessee and beat them. They got smoked by the Lions. 40-14. They beat Baltimore. I'm pretty sure before Lamar got hurt, they won 28-27. And then before that, they lost by 10 to Kansas City. But this is a team that started off hot, definitely started to struggle a little bit, and Dougie P has gotten them back to playing high level football. And you are correct. They are absolutely in that playoff race right now, against Tennessee. It's them in Tennessee. I have a friend that has Tennessee not to make the playoffs at like pretty awesome odds. So he's definitely, he's a Jets fan though. So he's,
it's getting torn apart.
Yeah, that's tough. So he's just ruined for Tennessee to lose every game. And
yeah, to, yeah.
Win. Not this week, but the week after and the week after right. that, I guess. I don't know. over-unders 39. Right now, the consensus pick is Jets minus one. 79% of people have that, according to their pick center. You know, excuse me. I said it before, and I'll say it again. If Zach Wilson's the quarterback, I'm expecting a loss. If especially on a short week, this guy mentally is just already got soup up there for brains, and now you're expecting him to be ready for Jacksonville in a short week. Like, I'm expecting like four interceptions if he plays. Right now, injury report: Joiner as of today, Joiner out, Mike White out, Zonovan Knight questionable, Corey Davis out, Quinnen Williams out. I did see that Zonovan and Corey are expected to play. Let's see, actually. I know that there was a whole lot of... Yeah, let's see what the beat writers are saying. Sammy Watkins has been released.
Yeah, so I just saw that.
Come on, where are these tweets?
As far as who's going to play and stuff?
Yeah, let's see. I'm trying to see if there was any updates. Update, injury update per Rich Cimini. Mike White still being evaluated. Quinnen Williams, arrow pointed up. Yeah. Davis, very hopeful. Jeff Smith, questionable. Who? Shout out Jeff Smith. He played well.
He did.
And he looked shifty. He's fast. He should, I mean, you know, his hands always been the issue. But if he get the ball and that guy's in space, to that guy in space, and he's pretty solid. Bam Knight, questionable, arrow up. Joiner, questionable, Echols out.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. This is the only point I have on this game. This is the only take I have on this game. It's the only thing that matters in this game. Mike White plays, the Jets win. Mike White doesn't play, the Jets lose. It's simple arithmetic, folks. It's 1 + 1. Right? And you know, 1 + 1 = 2. That's all it is.
I feel like we're switching spots as far as pessimists and optimists here. I think even if Wilson plays, I think either way the Jets win.
Okay.
That's just me.
Listen, I think, this defense is good enough to beat. This team is good enough to beat any team in the NFL. They are.
Yeah, I agree.
And me saying we need to change our expectations earlier in the episode, it still rings true. We need to change our expectations. The injuries are a little too much to overcome right now.
Yeah,
they are. So yeah, do I want the playoffs? Yes. Am I expecting the playoffs like I was at 6-3? No. 7-4? No. 7-4 I was expecting playoffs. Now we're 7-7. Lost 3 straight. Thought we'd be able to take at least one of these 3 games, and we just didn't. So, and I wasn't expecting the Lions to be this good 5 weeks ago. But they went on a tear. And you know what? Things change in the NFL. It's a very fickle league. So, what's your take on this game?
I think a lot of this is going to come down to, I think, Wilson, obviously, as with any quarterback play, if Wilson has to step up, which I think he will. I can't imagine much is going to change for Mike White over the course of 3 days with a fractured rib. I think solid, just not, you know, boxing himself into saying one will start over the other was the right thing to say.
Just put a flak jacket on him. Like, what are we doing here? He wants to play.
Just wrap him in like one of those bomb suits from Call of Duty. Like, what's the worst that could happen if he gets absolutely smoked by Trayvon Walker or something
exactly.
like that?
Exactly. Well, Trayvon Walker's out.
Oh, did you say that? Okay, that's my bad. Regardless,
I'm not expecting him to play.
If he gets smoked by anyone on the Jaguars defense.
Yes.
But I think if Wilson plays, the SNY crew was kind of saying it. And saying what I think the Jets should try to do with Zach Wilson, as long as he's forced to start, is cut the field in half, have him. And we joked about this actually earlier in the year that Zach Wilson can't throw left. He's like Zoolander and he can't turn left. It seems, I mean, it seems like he has more success if he just has to throw the ball to, like, the right side. Sure. I don't care. If that works, it works.
Connor, hold on. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you hear yourself right now?
Yeah, I do, of course. And the SNY guys were saying the same thing. It's like, we realize how ridiculous this sounds. But.
This just happened. Hold on.
My came on again. Why is what happening? All right. But do you hear yourself right now?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, like, yeah, Bart Scott and Willie Colon were saying the exact same thing that I'm saying. It's like, we realize how ridiculous that sounds, but if that's going to work, sure, let's do it. You know, if that's what they have to do to in order to bridge the gap back to Mike White, all right, that's what's got to happen now.
No, fuck that. Nope.
Trust me, if they think Mike White can play and not, like, actually get him killed on a football field, sure.
I'm talking about cutting the field in half. Okay. Well, I mean, this is like I hate this. This is like my take with bunting in baseball. You're giving them outs. You're giving them free outs. You're just handing it to them. And I know that's a line from Moneyball, but it's
just, I was gonna say, no more bunting. No more bunting.
He's like, which way are you pay me to do, coach? No, I pay you to get on base. Okay. Yeah. No, I don't want you cutting the field in half. You're making the defense's life easier doing that. They're like, you're cutting the field in half.
Awesome. Like,
we've been looking for a quarterback to do that for us for years, and you're just doing it for us. Remember, we were like, the Revis was the corner, and we were like, Rick Schrein was like, you know, he just cuts the field in half. He makes it really easy to play. Like, we don't have to worry about the right side of the field or the left side of the field or whatever it is. And we've said that on this podcast this year about Sauce.
Yeah.
And how cutting the field in half makes it much more difficult for an offense to function. Like, nothing pisses me off more than you're in the red zone and you do a design rollout and you're cutting the field in half. Like, you're inside the 10-yard line and you do a bootleg. Like, what are we doing? There's boundaries, you know. You can go, there's white lines around the field,
right?
And if you go on the white line, unless your name's Keelan Cole, like, that means you're out of bounds, okay? And so, if the SNY guys are saying that the Jets should cut the field in half, then I don't want to listen to the SNY guys anymore. And I love Connor Rogers, and I love Willie Colon, and Bart Scott holds a very dear place in my heart.
Bart Scott is a roller coaster.
Yeah, he holds a dear spot in my heart.
Yes, of course. Every single Jets fan and Bart Scott Steve will forever Gelbs. Have.
I have not. I have nothing but Gelbs good things to say about Steve Gelbs. Right.
I love Gelbs. It's funny. I've watched, like, their pregame show, like, every now and again, and it's just so readily apparent how much more stuff about the Mets that Steve Gelbs knows, because they have, like, a segment called, like, Stump Steve or something like that, and he never gets, like, the questions right. And Bart Scott and Willie Colon basically just sit there and laugh at him.
That's unbelievable. I've never seen that.
Yeah, and Gelbs is very much a Jets fan. Like, when
he loves the Jets.
When he got put in there, like, he posted a picture of him as a kid, like, wearing, like, a Jets shirt or Jets jersey or something like that. So he's very much a Jet fan, but it's just, like, it's obvious, so obvious that, you know, especially when the Mets are, it's when the crossover happens, you know, when Mets and Jets are playing, that obviously he jumps out for Mets games if they happen to play on a Sunday and stuff. So we know where, you know, Steve Gelbs, we love you, man, but it's always
absolutely
funny.
I love Gelbsy.
How could you not?
But they... That whoever, I don't know, you didn't mention who said it. You don't need to. Mm-hmm. But they're wrong.
I think it was Bart and Willie.
Okay, sure. They're wrong. I'm telling them they're wrong. And I know they played in the NFL, and I didn't. And I'm just a kid with glasses in an apartment in Hoboken. But, you know, maybe I won't say they're wrong. I want them to explain to me. I want them to show me why that would help Zach Wilson. Why are you taking away half the field from him? Why are you making life easier for the defense? And they'll be like, you know, you may be right about that, but still. And I'm like, no, I know I'm right about that. There's no but still. Okay. So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, man. I mean, this is a big game. And whew, I just want to watch them win.
I'm looking forward to the game. I hate short weeks because I hate, you know, obviously for the players, but also it's like, I like having that break of a week, you know, between stress attacks, you know, when my heart rate is above like 100 for 3 straight hours, you know. Yeah. I like having that little mental break, you know, Monday through like Friday I cruise. Then things obviously start, you know, I start stressing Saturday.
Oh, I'm going to be freaking out on Thursday. And I was planning on going to like working in the office on Thursday, which I work until, let me see.
Oof. That makes it even worse.
4 to 12. Yeah, no, what? I think I'm going to work from home that day. And I think I have to work from home that day. Yeah. Wait, when do I? Because I leave for a trip on Saturday. I'll just pack that. Yeah. All right. I can't go into the office on Thursday. I'm going to have to tell my boss because we have a meeting. All right, folks, I got nothing much else. Connor, how much else you got on this game?
I mean, they gotta
win, man.
Go out and win. That's and I'm sure that's what the coaches are telling them this week. The players are very aware of their playoff situation. You know, they have said it numerous times that you never want to be beholden to another team's success or failures when it comes to getting into the playoffs. So they are very well aware of the situation they're in. So go out there, win. It's as simple as it gets.
Go out and win. All right, folks, that's it for us. I think that, I'm just so nervous for Thursday.
Me too.
So nervous. Oh, man. All right. You can find me on Twitter at Jesse Finn, where you can find Connor. Where?
At Connor, Connor, _ Sheeran, Sheeran, just like Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Just we are like not Ed related. Sheeran. We are not related as far as I know, but we both have red hair.
We both have red hair. Yes. That would be pretty crazy if you guys were related.
It would be, right?
It would be. You do like a 23andMe and you're like, you have relatives in England, not in Ireland.
I've been British this whole time.
Oh, that'd be a doozy. Yeah, so find me on Twitter at Jesse Finver, JesseFinver. Gotham Sports Network, GothamSN.com. Find us on Twitter at GothamSN. You can go find any of the Gotham Sports Network podcasts on Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. And that's it, folks. Go Jets, and good luck this week, because I know I'm sad, and we need happiness on Thursday. Please, we need happiness on Thursday. Peace!